Sometimes you just got to praise Him from where you are, right? And what a joy it is to be back here at Faith Baptist Tabernacle. It is always a highlight for my family and me when we had the opportunity to be here. And we didn't know where Jamestown was till we got invited years ago. And now we're here more than any other place other than home. And we always feel like home when we come here. So greetings from Crossroads Baptist Church, where I pastor. And here this September, I'll celebrate 11 years of pastoring. My dad planted the church 41 years ago, and I'm so blessed to be able to pastor not only where he pastored, but to pastor him and mom. They sit right on the second row of church every week, and it is a humbling thing for me to pastor my hero in the faith, and I'm certainly thankful for God blessing them. My mom has had cancer 3 times. By the grace of God, she's still here. We give God the glory for that. And certainly blessed and privileged of God. I appreciate my beautiful wife. Thank the Lord for the blessing she's been to me over the years, particularly these last couple of years. I keep telling her, I've got to get back to 100% so I can be the boss again. Amen. And so you can't boss people you need real bad, all right? You just got to act like you're in control. I tell everybody, I'm the head of my house. I am the head of my house. And my wife is the neck that turns me, all right? So I certainly thank the Lord for her and my children. We're thrilled for the opportunity to be on vacation again. And we always count it a blessing and a privilege to be here at Faith Baptist Tabernacle. Of course, I would have never been here had it not been for the gracious invitation of Pastor Fred Allred and his dear wife, Miss Brenda, years ago. And from the very first time I met them, you know, my secretary has kind of these antennas that go up, and they're because of some unfavorable, unforgettable circumstances. So I got this call from Jamestown, Tennessee, and this family said, hey, we'd love for you to come to Jamestown. First thing I thought was, where is Jamestown? And, you know, when you're coming to a place in the middle of Tennessee that you haven't heard of and you're a black man, it's potentially dangerous. All right. So, I mean, there's still times I go to Tennessee and my church goes, you're going to Tennessee now. And I said, don't worry, they know us there. So I've got this call from this gentleman that says, we'd love for you to come preach for us in Jamestown, Tennessee. And we want you to stay at our house. This really sounds like a setup. What kind of house is this? I was very, very comfortable when I pulled up and I found out that they're very welcoming at the Allred House. Their house is even black and white. Amen. So this was a setup for a match made in heaven. So honestly, the first time I came, I didn't stay. I have been invited to stay at some homes where I left their marking on my calendar to make sure if they ever call again to tell them that I'm busy. All right. And so I got a little bit nervous. So I didn't stay, and I came for dinner. And we sat there, and an assistant of mine, and we ate dinner and met this lovely family. And I thought, my, where have these people been all my life? And the next time they said, stay. Yeah, you know, after you get to the Allred's house, you don't wait for them to ask you to stay. You wonder when they'll let you stay. And she fed me. The way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And I'm telling you what, I've eaten some good meals at the Allred home, taking them back to my wife and said, honey, I don't know how, but you need to duplicate this. And so we have and enjoyed it. And then after coming one or two times, I told my wife, I said, this is a trip you need to make with me. And she came with me. And then I said, we need to get our children here. And after coming for several times and bringing an assistant and then coming again and then bringing someone else and then bringing my wife and then bringing my children, I got a novel idea. I need to find out wherever my best friend is and get him here. He needs to pastor here. So I'm telling you, I was sitting down 15 years ago. I wrote this all up and it's all, no, I'm just kidding. This is a God thing. And just at the right time, when Rod Allred was looking for someone to come behind him, God just opened the door. And my, nobody does it like God does it. And I'm so thrilled. And so, Ms. Allred, I sure do love you. I love your husband. Our church has never met you, but they know the name Allred. You've been on our prayer list for a long time, and you're on mine. And early this morning, about 5 a.m., I was on my knees praying for you and your husband. And what a champion of the faith he has been. And to this church, I'm so thrilled that God has placed something here on the map here that God is doing here. And it's a wonderful opportunity to serve the Lord. Aren't you glad you get to serve the Lord? And I'm thrilled about it. For all of you that are here this morning for the very first time and you're looking for a church home, let me recommend Faith Baptist Tabernacle. I would vouch for this man with my entire life. I don't have a better friend on planet Earth than Pastor Josh Grubbs. He and his wife, Kim, and their family are so dear to us. I trust him with my life and with everything that I know about myself. I can tell him in confidence and know that he stands with me during some of our toughest moments. He's one of those calls I took in the hospital when I wasn't taking any calls. And he said to me, "Listen, this is the best friend for you." We're on FaceTime and I'm laying in the hospital and I got all these tubes in me and I got double pneumonia. My wonderful, encouraging friend says, "Hey, man, you look terrible." I said, "I've got COVID. What's your excuse?" Anyway, I didn't say that. I don't remember what I said, but I'm glad I'm still able to say something. And to our friends that are here, we don't have friends that we see when we come. There are friends in this church that I hear from year round. You communicate. I mean, you all feed us. We eat good food. We eat Delilah's apple pie. I mean, I just wish wine saps were available in August. But we're getting close. They will be in October. And I will be back. And I will be expecting. I don't know what God's going to do during Jubilee, but I expect to eat apple pie. And so we've been fed. I mean, the men have caught catfish and fed us. And we've eaten ribs and everything we can think here. An earthquake cake. That's a whole nother story. The earthquake cake here at Jamestown in the Jubilee had me. It had an earthquake going on inside of me. And it erupted right after I finished preaching on a Tuesday night at the Jubilee. And how many of you know earthquakes inside of you seem to always occur when somebody after the service has 9 questions about your sermon? And this God-sent or devil-sent man was there standing in front of me, and he had all of these angles of the sermon that God gave him while I was preaching. And frankly, I didn't care about any of them. There was an earthquake inside of me, and I needed to get to the bathroom. And so finally, I broke away from this leech, and I decided that I was going to rush to the bathroom. Do not pause. Do not think. When you gotta go, you gotta go. So I ran to the bathroom, made it there by the grace of God. How many of you thankful for the grace of God? How many of you thankful for the mercy of God? I don't know which one I was leaning on that day. Let's just call it 50-50. But I made it to the restroom and got there, and the Lord helped me. And we won't talk about all of that. That's between me and God. Mind your business. But I made it. I got there, and after resting there at from the proper receptacle there and in the bathroom, I heard this sound. "Oh my goodness, I don't know what's wrong with me." And I thought, that's a woman's voice. And the thought occurred to me, I made it to the bathroom. I made it to the stall. I made it to the toilet. But it was the wrong bathroom. You got to do a better job at marking those doors down there at Mission Point. Of course, the doors were open, thank God. If the doors were closed, I don't know if I'd have made it. And so now the man who was doing his best to make it to the bathroom is now devising a scheme to make it out of the bathroom unseen. I have just been preaching in the Jubilee about the perilous times we're living in and that the gender lines are being blurred. And we're living in a society that's got men going to women's bathrooms and women going to men's bathrooms. And we need to stay down the old path. A man is a man and a woman is a woman. And I don't want no woman in my bathroom. And I don't want to be in a woman's bathroom. Bless God. Amen. And I'm in the woman's bathroom. And so I got out of that bathroom and I did wash my hands that night once I got to the All Reds house. There was no time coming out the bathroom. No adults there, just a few blessed teenagers sitting there on the ledge when I walked out. And I thought, I just came out the woman's bathroom, didn't I? And the teenager said, yep, you sure did. Some things only happen in Jamestown, Tennessee. Hey, let's make a rule today. What happens in Jamestown stays in Jamestown. Let the church say amen. Could I have a man make a motion about that today? Okay, there, Brother Josh makes a motion. Do I have a second? Yes. My brother over there makes a motion. All in favor, say aye. All who oppose, be quiet. All right. So I've got some wonderful times here in Jamestown and thrilled to be back here. Looking forward to what God's going to do in the service today. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Would you stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word? I want to challenge you today from the Word of God. Because I believe we're getting closer and closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard a man say last night when I was there near Knoxville, he says, he's going to toot and I'm going to scoot. He's talking about the trumpet sounding. Yeah, you need a little clarification sometime with that. How about this? The trumpet's going to sound and we're getting up off the ground. Amen. But in these last days, I want to finish well. I want to honor the Lord. The sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. Let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Thank you for the music today. Thank you for the people that are here. Thank you for a full building in 2022. God is not dead. Now talk to us. Talk to me. This is where you've led me today. And might the big preacher, the Holy Spirit, show up and show out. Watch over my church family back home, my daddy as he's preaching today, and every church around the globe. May Christ be magnified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The sons of the prophets represent a group of young men being trained by Elisha. Can I tell you, in these last days, we need more older people training younger people. We need more younger people that are willing to be trained. God has designed for training in the local New Testament church. Let the older men teach the younger men. Let the older women teach the younger women. Let me tell you something, young folks. You need to learn from people who've done it before. Let me tell you something, folks who've done it before. You need to teach people who don't know how to do it. We're not enemies against each other. We are co-laborers working together for the cause of Christ. So they're training under the tutelage of Elisha. The Bible makes it very clear that where they're training is not big enough. It's too straight for us, verse number one, too narrow. We don't have enough room to do what God has called us to do. How many of you would signify by an uplifted hand, it is a good thing to build a bigger place to do the work of God? Would you agree with that? Folks are building bigger gyms. They're building bigger corporations. They're building bigger casinos. They're building bigger bars. Aren't you glad that there are people that are building bigger places to do the work of God? We need a bigger place, Elisha. Can we go to the Jordan? Can we chop down some trees? Can we get some beams? And can we build a bigger place to do the work of God? Elisha says, yes, you can. As a matter of fact, Elisha, will you join us? Yes, I will. So here are the sons of the prophets, accompanied by Elisha himself, headed to Jordan to build a bigger place so that they can do the work that God has called them to do. How many of you agree they're doing a good thing? Would you raise your hand? They're doing a good thing. I'll tell you something, that while they're doing a good thing, a bad thing happens. Somebody's chopping down a beam. And while chopping it down, the unthinkable occurs. The axe head falls into the water. That ain't a good thing. It's good that he's chopping down a tree. It's good that they're at the Jordan. It's good that Elisha's with them. It's bad that the axe head has fallen into the water. Why? It's fallen into the Jordan River. The Jordan River wasn't where people went bathing. The Jordan River wasn't where people hung out. The Jordan River wasn't the location of the spa in town. The Jordan River was a dirty, stinky, smelly river. You couldn't see to the bottom of the Jordan River. For the axe head to fall into the Jordan River was just about gone. It was unretrievable. And yet here is somebody swinging an axe without an axe end. Now please watch. I can keep on swinging the axe. I can swing hard. I can swing low. I can aim my axe head right at that tree. I can grunt. I can make noise. I can stomp my feet. I can get a bunch of my friends to yell behind me, swing, bada, 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 bada. I can swing all I want to, but swinging harder, swinging faster, swinging lower, swinging with a fan club, swinging while I stomp my feet, swinging while I yell things out, doesn't make me effective, because swinging an axe without an axe head is ineffective. And yet he loses it. Here's what I love about the story in 2 Kings chapter 6. He didn't just lose it. He got it back. Now I want to look at the folks that are here at Faith Baptist Tabernacle this morning. You're here in church in the month of August, on this 14th day, 2022, because you're involved in doing a good thing. How many believe by saying amen, it's a good thing to come to church on Sunday? Amen. How many believe by saying amen, it's a good thing to open the Bible in church on Sunday? How many by saying amen believe it's a good thing to sing the songs of worship on Sunday? How many believe it's a good thing to come to Sunday school on Sunday? How many believe it's a good thing to give to the offering and to pay your tithes on Sunday? How many think it's a good thing to fellowship with other believers on Sunday? Say amen. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. You're here because you're involved in a good thing. How many believe it's a good thing to serve the Lord? Some of you, while trying to do a good thing, have experienced a bad thing. You've lost your accent. You're swinging. You're sitting in the building at Faith Baptist Tabernacle on a Sunday morning. You're here. You wouldn't be here if you hate God. You wouldn't be here if you don't want to serve God. You wouldn't be here if you have no desire for God. I'm not going to be like some preachers preach. Bless God, some of you out there, you're here, but you don't want to be here. I can tell you can smile at me all you want to. You don't like God. You don't love Jesus. You're just here because you're a little phony. You're a hypocrite, and you ain't going to fool. No. I think you're here because you want to serve God. Just because you want to serve God doesn't mean you're serving Him. Just because you're here sitting in church doesn't mean you're going to win the victory tomorrow. Just because you got your Bible open today doesn't mean you're going to open it tomorrow morning. Just because you're here doesn't mean you're not struggling with some besetting sin, some pornography, some difficulty, some depression, some unforgiveness, some bitterness, some evil spirit, some relationship problem, some marriage that's on the rocks, some difficulty that you're going through. You're swinging, but your fervor, your fire, your joy, your excitement, your drive for God, your prayer life is waning. Your Bible reading is waning. Your love for God is waning. You've not led anybody to the Lord in a long time. You've not shared the gospel. Well, you're swinging. You may be exhausted. You may be worn out. You may live for God all week long and feel like, I can't do this anymore. I feel like I've expended a lot of energy, but you're not getting the job done. Listen to me. It does no good to go to the Jordan River and swing without an axe head. Hear me now. It does no good to serve the Lord without any power, without any joy, without any excitement, without any prayer, without any Bible reading. You may care your Bible, but the real Christian is not just someone that carries a Bible. The real Christian is someone whose Bible carries him. Can you get your axe head back? If you've lost your joy, if you've lost your excitement, if you've lost your fire, if you've lost your fervor, if you're sitting in church today with no drive in you, no earth in you, no passion for the things of God, can you get your axe head back? I'd like to tell you something, that the God of 2 Kings chapter 6 is the God of 2022. Aren't you glad God's still alive? Aren't you glad God is still? You can get your axe head back. And today I want to take a few moments very quickly to tell you, if you've lost your axe, if you're not on fire for God, we got to be real today. We can't come to church and act like everything's fine. God sees beyond that. If you've lost your axe head, I tell our people at church, it's almost noon here in Jamestown. Have you read your Bible this morning? Did you talk to God? Most people check Facebook. They check Instagram. They're on TikTok. They've watched Fox. They've watched CNN. They've eaten their breakfast. They've had their coffee. They've read their newspaper. But they haven't talked to their Creator. They haven't spent time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know what that means? You're swinging without an axe head. I came here from Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C., where most of the crazy people in America live, to tell you, you can get your axe head back. Number one, it's going to involve a sober reaction. A sober reaction. Look very quickly. As he's felling a beam, he's chopping down a beam, verse number 5, the axe head fell into the water. Notice the next three words. And he cried. Say those three words with me. And he cried. Say it again. And he cried. Listen, there needs to be a reaction when you lose your fire. I'll tell you what's wrong with the average Christian. He's lost his axe head, but he has no reaction. There must be a sober reaction. Notice the broken spirit. He says, alas, a broken spirit, alas. That's an archaic word for grief, pity, or concern. He didn't say, oh, well. He didn't say, no big deal. He didn't say, I can just find another one. He didn't say, I really didn't feel like working anyway. He said, alas. In other words, it breaks my heart that what I need to get the job done, I don't have. When you're not praying, what you need to get the job done, you don't have. When you're not reading your Bible, what you need to get the job done, you don't have. When you're not a soul winner, what you need to get the job done, you don't have. When you're not giving like you should, what you need to get the job done, you don't have. When you're not faithful to the house of God, what you need to get the job done, you don't have. Listen to me. It breaks us when our team loses. It breaks us when we have to fill up gas and gas prices are high. It breaks us when you break a nail. It breaks us when somebody cuts us off on the highway. It breaks us when the light turns red before we go through it. It ought to break us when we're not on fire for God. There must be a broken spirit, but there must be an acknowledgement of a blundered stewardship. Notice what he says. Alas, master, for it was borrowed. Say that with me. For it was borrowed. Say it again. For it was borrowed. Watch this now. It's bad enough I lost the axe head. It's even worse. It ain't mine. There's nothing more embarrassing than misplacing or damaging something that belongs to somebody else. Here's what he's saying. Somebody. In other words, when I borrowed it and I lose it, I have an idle consequence. I can't use it if I lose it. I have an intended care. I was expected to take care of it, and I have an inevitable consequence. I got to go and look at that guy that I borrowed it from and face him and explain to him why I didn't bring back what he loaned me. That's why it bothers me that I lost an axe head. Can I say something to you this morning? Your time doesn't belong to you. Your talent doesn't belong to you. Your treasure doesn't belong to you. You say, where did I get it from? It belongs to God. What, know you not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In Him we live, we breathe, and we have our being. My house isn't mine. My church isn't mine. My family is not mine. My dreams and goals, they're not mine. Everything belongs to God. When He saved me, He loaned me time. He loaned me talent. He loaned me treasure. What happens when I lose it? That means I can't use it. That's an idle consequence. What happens when I lose it? That means the intended care of it was not done. And the worst thing about losing it is the inevitable consequence. There's coming a day I've got to stand before the one who gave me my time, who gave me my talent, and who gave me my treasure. And I have to look at him and say, Jesus, I wasted my time. I wasted my life. I met friends. I met coworkers. I met people every day. I never shared the gospel. I made money every week. I didn't tithe every week. I had the opportunity to serve you. I had a bad testimony on my job. I didn't represent you on social media. I went out and about, and I lived in a way that hurt my testimony. I was involved in sin that hurt the heart of God. You gave it to me to use it for your glory. And if I lose it, I have blundered my stewardship. Let's get back to the point that it bothers us when we fail God. Sober reaction number two, a strategic return. A strategic return. Notice the accepted support. Look again at the text, if you would, verse number 5. As one was spilling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, "Alas, Master." There must be some accepted support. Here was a guy who had lost something. And he knew that what he had lost, he couldn't get back without some help. Look at me, Christian. Look at me, church member. Look at me, young person. One of the biggest things that the devil will do to deceive you is that you can get better without any help.
Amen.
I can't tell you how many people I've sat down struggling with pornography, but I don't want to tell it to anybody. How many marriages I think to myself, I wonder if that marriage could have been saved if they reached out for help 5 years ago instead of when it was too late. I wonder how many young people are sitting in the room today. You're struggling with depression. You're cutting yourself. You're struggling with mental illness. I wonder how many people are struggling with bitterness or wrath or anger or unresolved issues between yourself. You keep it to yourself. I don't want anybody to know. I'm too embarrassed. I don't need anybody in my business. I can handle this by myself. No. God never intended for anyone to handle it by yourself. And don't you fool yourself to think everybody that's experiencing spiritual victory, they have it all together. There's only one person that's got it all together, and his name is Jesus. He says, "Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you." Here's this fella. "I need some help. Elisha, help me. I lost this axe head, and I need some help." Listen to me. You need help with Bible reading. If you need help with walking with God, if you need help with a prayer life, help being a better soul winner, help with discipleship, help with your marriage. Look out to people around you. You're not in it by yourself. Accepted support. But notice the acknowledged spot. Here's what Elisha says to him. "Where fell it?" Look here just a moment. "Hey, buddy, you lost it? Where'd you drop it?" Listen. If you dropped it right here, ain't no business looking over there. Now, I came in this morning. I came straight in the building. I went in the building. I went to the restroom. And I went to the pastor's office. And then I came in here to the auditorium. If I leave after I've been in here and go straight back to my car and I can't find my phone, I guarantee you I ain't going to look for it in the gym. Anybody listening? You know what? I didn't go in the gym. I'm not going to look for it in the ladies' bathroom, even though I'm prone to go there on some occasions, because I didn't go there this morning. You know, if I lost my phone, guess where I'm going to look? I'm going to look at the last place where I had it. And if you're here this morning, you say, "I don't have drive. I don't have joy. I don't have excitement. I don't have contentment." I hear people say all the time, "My finances are all messed up. My bills are crazy. I got people calling me all the time. I just feel like my money is all out of place." I say, "Where's the last time your finances were together?" "Well, when I was tithing every week, it seemed like I didn't have that problem." Well, you don't need a rocket scientist. If you want your money to get right again, get back to tithing again. "Well, I don't understand. I don't have any joy. My mind is filled with all kinds of nonsense and wicked thoughts, and my thought life is out of control. I just wish I could get my mind together. I need to go see Dr. So-and-so. I need to watch some more Dr. Phil. I need to see what Oprah has to say." No. When was your mind right? "Well, my mind was a whole lot better when I got up and read my Bible every day." Hey, listen to me. Don't see Oprah. Don't tune into Dr. Phil. Go back to reading your Bible. Listen to me. If you don't have your joy, did you have it when you were leading people to the Lord? If you don't have your family, was your family together when you were reading the Bible every single day? If you don't have contentment anymore, did you have contentment when you walk with God? If you drop the axe head in a spot, if you want to find it, go back to the spot where you lost it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, you acknowledge today. Do you remember when you and God were like this? When he was the first person you wanted to talk to when you woke up in the morning? I know life gets hard and circumstances happen, unforeseen, unexpected, trials come, difficulties come, layoffs come, gas prices, inflation, sickness, things from the doctor, death in the family, unexpected things that happen, and they show up out of control, and sometimes they knock us off of our stance and we feel like everything's crumbling. Could I remind you of something? Everything may look like it's crumbling on earth, but up there in heaven, things are going just fine. He's still in control. He's still on the throne. He still knows what he's doing. He's still God. Aren't you glad that there will be no elections in heaven this November? There will be no new God in 2024. Aren't you glad he's not going to get voted out? because he didn't get voted in. He had no predecessor and have no successor. He can't be impeached, and he's not going to resign. He's not slowing down. He's not getting old. He doesn't need a two-thirds majority. He doesn't have a party. He stands all by himself. And when you lose that accent and you lose that fire, you may think all hope has gone down here, but there's a God who can take you back to the spot and say, if you ever had it before, you can get it back again. Praise his name. My sober reaction, my strategic return, and number three, I'm done. A supernatural remedy. A supernatural remedy. Which rests on the remarkable power of God. Do you believe in the power of God? Amen. Come on, church, talk to me. Do you believe in the power of God? Yes. I think sometimes we get drowned in the cliche of the Bible. We get so familiar with Scripture. We tell the Bible, so it's possible to teach Sunday school to children. It's possible to preach the Bible to adults. It's possible to teach it to college students, to teach it, to preach it, to read it, to study it so much that we don't even listen to what we're actually saying. Listen to me say it and see if while you're listening to me say it, if you don't remind yourself how big and how amazing it is that this is actually true. And God took from the dust of the ground, formed man, breathed in the man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Question for you. Maybe something's going on in Jamestown that doesn't happen in Northern Virginia. When the last time you were riding down the road, saw somebody took a bunch of dust, and all of a sudden start forming it, and the next thing you know, there came a leg, and there came another leg, and here came a waist, and an arm, and an arm, and from them arm, five fingers each. From them feet, five toes each. And then he took an eye with the dust, and went, and another eye, and a nose, and a mouth, and some teeth. Well, it depends where you go in Tennessee. It could be just, okay. Let me tell you something. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you read your Bible and forget that the God did that is a miracle working God. How about this? He said, let there be light, and there was light. How about this God that took a leper and touched him and he was cleansed, took a debtor and forgave him? How about this God took a man that was blind from his birth and spit in the clay, put it on his eyes, and the man was seeing? How about this man that took a woman with the issue of blood that touched the hem of his garment and straightway she was healed? How about this man that said, hush to the wind and hush to the water, and both of them obeyed him? How about a God who parted the Red Sea? Part of it went that way, part of it went that way, and 1.5 million, 2 million Jews walked across on dry ground. Get this, here comes a boy with a lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish. What kind of fish? Catfish. What kind of loaves? Cornbread. Brings it to Jesus. Mama fixed it for one boy. Jesus served it to 5,000. When last time you pulled up to Chick-fil-A, ordered a 12-pack of nuggets and a small fry, brought it to the car with your family of 8 and said, everybody want to eat? You just start pulling nuggets out the bag. Just throwing them out the back. Who wants another one? And your teenage boy said, I want 12 more nuggets. No problem here. I'm a miracle worker. No. Only God can take a lunch with 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 5. Listen to me. If he could put the sun in space and hang it on nothing and it never falls down. If he could take man and form him and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. If he could take you in your mother's womb, guide you through the birthing canal and give you something into existence when the doctors couldn't even spot it. If he could write your DNA code. If he could take you from a nobody to a somebody. Watch this now. If he could reach down into the miry clay, pick you up out of the muck and mire of debauchery and depravity, take your dead soul, rejuvenate it. If he could write your name down in the Lamb's book of life, give you God as your father, heaven as your home, the Holy Ghost is your comforter, the Word of God is your guide. If he could put the Holy Spirit inside of you, if his grace and mercy could take you from the family of Adam and put you in the family of God, if he could snatch you out of hell and guarantee you heaven, if he could take 40 men over 1600 period time and produce a manuscript that's inspired, infallible, and inerrant, if he could give you a perfect, a pure, a probing, a penetrating, a piercing, a potent, a powerful, a profitable, and a perfect word, if he could do all of that, then tell me why he can't take that axe head, however deep it is, however dark it is, however gone it is, in the midst of a postmodern society where the world says Christianity is dying. I'll tell you, it ain't dead, because Christ is still alive. And if he did all those miracles, he can do one in your life today. The remarkable power. The unlikely method. He chopped down a stick. What? A stick? That's how you're going to do a miracle? I don't know about you. If I'm that guy that lost the axe head, I'm waiting for Elisha to do one of those. No. Just chop down a stick. Hey, listen to me. You need the miracle. Don't tell God how to do it. Well, God, if you just heal, oh, God, if you just take it away, oh, God, if you just let the doctor tell me this. Hey, listen, God is not subject to your suggestions. Sometimes you're looking for a big Jesus in the sky, and sometimes God's just chopping down the stick. Well, I just need the choir to sing my favorite song so I can enjoy the Lord. You don't need your favorite song to enjoy the Lord. You just need to find a little secret spot and talk to Him. It's an unlikely method, but an undeniable miracle. Now watch this now. And the iron did swim. Okay, here we go again. Oh yeah, I mean, axe head falls into the water all the time, and then all of a sudden, people throw sticks in the water, and then iron comes up from the bottom of the water, and just on the top of the water, starts swimming. Are you kidding me? This is a miracle. Don't tell me in August of 2022 that you can't be on fire for God. If the iron swam, then you can get on fire for God. There it is. The remarkable power. Which brings us to a responsible person. Watch this now. God did His part. There it is. Everybody look at it. There it is right there. Use your imagination. The iron's swimming on top of the water. The guy must be thinking, boy, I didn't know how powerful that axe head was. But now what are you going to do, buddy? Well, you got to realize the availability. You got to realize it's there. Look at me. Every person in the building, you can be as great of a Christian as you want to be.
Amen.
It's there. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ, period. Wrong. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. But the life and the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Listen to me, my friend. God can work through you.
Amen.
You gotta realize it's available. The realized availability. How about this? The reaching accessibility. Oh, please watch. The iron did swim. Verse 7. Therefore said He, take it to thee. Look at verse number 7. After take it to thee, what's the next phrase say? And He did what? Come on. And He did what?
Put out His hand.
Put out His hand. Okay. All right. Put your Bible down just a moment. All right. Put your hand up. Come on. Put your hand up. Hey, watch this now. When you put your hand out, what are you saying? You expect somebody else to put something in it. Now watch this now. Two people are going to leave the same church service, right? And one of them is going to go, "Phew, boy, church was good today. Did you see that black guy on the piano? I don't know if he can play, but he sure is crazy." Somebody's going to leave church today and go, boy, the worship sure helped me. Oh my goodness, the preaching sure helped me. The fellowship of God's people sure. I'm a better Christian because I came to church today. I'm excited to serve God this week. Woo! Somebody else going to leave the same service and go, I ain't getting nothing. The best part of the service was when he finally finished. The choir couldn't sing. The guy leading the singing didn't know what he was doing. The guitar player was just hitting stuff. The drummer was just making a bunch of noise. I didn't get anything out of it. I read the Bible this morning and I didn't find anything in the Bible that helped me. Now, how do two people read the same Bible, go to the same service, and one says, I got a lot, and the other one said, I got nothing? I'll tell you the difference. One's got his hand here and one's got his hand here. You mean tell me you're serving the God of the universe? Have access to the most powerful book that's ever been written. And you're not getting anything? Shh, don't tell anybody. Because if you ain't getting nothing, you don't have your hand out. What would happen if every member at Faith Baptist Tabernacle came with your hand out every time you came to church? Every morning you got ready, if I open now mine eyes, then I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Greater also than honey, than the honeycomb. I've esteemed thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. I love thy word more than my necessary food. You can't go into the Bible with your hand out and come up with nothing. It's too good. It's too great. It's too gracious. It's too glorious. Folks, you want something from God, start putting your hand out again. Yeah. I'm too burdened. I'm too tired. I'm going through too many trials. That's when you need your hand out more. The realized availability. The reaching accessibility. The receiving actuality. He took it. What does it feel like to get it back? Ask David. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Hey God, when you get me back right again, I can help other people get right. And the last one is an assumption. The resumed activity. I have to believe. If he was chopping down trees before he lost his axe, what in the world do you think he did when he got it back? Start chopping down trees again. Please listen, and I'm finished. Remember the day you and God were inseparable? Remember when Sunday was your favorite day? Remember reading your Bible was something you didn't let anything else interfere with? You got busy, discouraged, preoccupied. Tragedy happened. The unexpected, a phone call you never planned on. And even though you were engaged in doing something good, something bad happened. And now you're going through the motions, swinging. Come to church, picking up the Bible. But you don't have anything cutting anything down. You may be in ministry, you may be a leader. You may be in a godly home. You may have been married a long time. You may be a part of a good church. But you're not chopping down anything. I've come to tell you today, God put 2 Kings in the Bible for a reason. Yeah, it's possible to lose it. But by the grace of God, it's possible to get it back. Now, if you're like Crossroads Baptist Church, somebody in the building's going, oh yeah, that's a good message for so-and-so. I can't believe he wasn't here to hear it. Hey, I don't know your business. I've never seen your birth certificate. But I just have a little inkling in my mind that written on your birth certificate is the name so-and-so. You are that so-and-so this morning. And every single one of us has had a time in our lives where we were closer, tighter, and more effective for God. Hey, not tonight. Not this afternoon. Not at the next big meeting. Not at the next youth revival. Not at teen camp. Not at the next time God decides to blow through. How about today? Get your axe head back. If you're here today, you've never met Jesus Christ. The axe head is not the only thing that's available. Salvation is available. You can get saved today. Let's bow our heads. Listen, would you? Do you miss that time with the Lord? I wonder how many of you say, "Preacher, I know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I know that." Would you raise your hand? I know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I have Bible reasons to prove it. I know it. Put your hand up. Put your hands down. How many of you would be honest enough with me? You say, "Preacher, I just raised my hand. I'm going to heaven. I know it. But there's an area of my life where I need to be sharper with God." And today, God pointed that area out. Not me, the preacher. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. You say, "God pointed out an area of my life that needs to be sharper. And it bothers me. I want it to be what God wants me to be." That's you. Just speak for yourself. Put your hand up all over the building. Come on. Oh, my soul all over. God bless you. Put your hands down. Now let me ask you one more question. How many of you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I'm sure I don't want to go to hell." Let me ask you again. "I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I don't want to go to hell." I can never be sharp for the Lord unless I first accept Him as my Savior. And frankly, I'm just not sure if I'm going to heaven. I don't know your name and wouldn't call it out if I did, but I do want to pray for you. "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Would you let me pray for you?" I want you to do me a favor if that's you today. Would you slip your hand up and just look at me, just so that I can show you that I saw your hand. "I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell." Raise your hand if that's you. Anybody like that, just slip it up. Be honest. "I'm not sure. If I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm absolutely positive I do not want to go to hell." Anybody like that, just raise your hand. I'll wait just a moment for you. Anybody? Then if you're here today and you give testimony being a child of God, hey, look, Jesus is in town. God's in the business of making the axe heads. Now, just a moment. We're going to do business with God. All eyes up here, would you? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to invite you in just a moment after I pray for everyone to stand. And I'm going to invite you, if you're serious, to come to the altar, you and God. Say, "God, whatever area in my life that needs to be sharper, you're able to make it flow today. I'm going to come to this altar, put my hand out. I'm going to quit making excuses. I'm going to quit cursing the darkness and talking about I can't do this. And it's too big." Listen, everything in the Christian life is bigger than you. But God is able. You've got to put your hand out. If God makes it flow, you've got to do something about it. You can be as good of a Christian as you want to be today. It's up to you to make a move.